to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing? I feel like at this time of the year, you're either in one of two camps. You are either, today must be January the 63rd, and all the parents who still have kids at home say yes. Or your head's spinning a little bit and you are like, wow, hang on, wasn't Christmas yesterday? And what, we're almost in February? Where did January go? And I'm probably feeling a little bit more perhaps like that. But here we are, inhabiting this new year, 2024. We are almost a full month in, which is exciting. And God is doing a new thing. We are amidst that new thing. It's not about to start. It has started. And we are amidst a prophetic atmosphere of new birth and awakening and newness. And that is where we are. And so I want us to settle into that today. So I'm going to start by telling a story. I used to be a high school English teacher. And one of the reasons I really never wanted to be a primary school teacher was I didn't like the idea of primary school kids touching me during mat time. I wanted them behind desks. I wanted them not, yeah. So that's one of the reasons I didn't choose primary school teaching. Little insight into my past there. So this story is for you, and it comes from when we moved house, so we did a new thing. Now, that's almost 6 years ago now, so it's not as new as it was, but you'll see why this is relevant. When we moved into our new home, there was a strange structure in our front yard. I don't quite know what to call it, so I'm just going to describe it. It was a low two-sided brick wall above which there were some wooden bits. You can tell I'm not the architect in the family, that came up above, and there was like an open pergola type situation. And across the top of that, there was a beautiful, lush, green grapevine that grew. And this structure was to house the rubbish bins for this house. So our three rubbish bins lined up neatly underneath this weird looking structure. The structure was ugly. So ugly that when I dug around in our past photos to see if I had a photograph to show you, I'd never taken one because it was just too ugly to photograph. This structure was ugly and it housed rubbish. Once the dust settled on our moving in, we took stock and realised we didn't actually have to have this structure there housing rubbish in the middle of what was otherwise quite a beautiful view of trees and a lake across the road, things that we actually wanted to look at. So we knocked it down, took it out, moved the bins around the side, out of sight, and what we did was try to preserve the grapevine. And initially that seemed to be quite successful. It stayed leafy and green and it seemed to flourish. And I'm not exactly sure of the timeline of when we realised after this event that there was something amiss with the grapevine. But eventually we realised it looked a little, you know, leafy and strong, but there was no fruit. And we weren't too sure what was going on with it. But when we gave it a little bit of a poke, what looked like a really strong trunk and robust branches was actually a home for a termite infestation. Inside, it was hollow. And it had to go. So Derek chopped it down to just above a tiny stump, just above the level of the paving. And I'm pretty sure we might have poisoned it as well. We at least sprayed for termites, I know that. So this thing was not going to survive, right? It was done. So we'd cleaned the rubbish out of our view. But now the beautiful grapevine was gone as well. And that had not been the plan. Fast forward to the end of spring last year. We walk our crazy dog every morning, and for some reason I walked differently back across our front garden and something green caught my eye. And there's going to be a photo come up that will show you what I saw. So this is what I saw. And it caught my eye, and I thought, I'm going to take a photograph of that. And as I bent down to take the photograph, I felt Holy Spirit just say, newness. And here we are, wrapping up our New Day series to start 2024. Our locating scriptures speak of newness, God doing a new thing. Isaiah 43:16-21 says this, This is what the Lord says. And then it goes on to tell us who the Lord actually is. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. This God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And then in the New Testament, we have Jesus talking about new wine. He's questioned by John's disciples, John the Baptist. They come and they say, how is it that we and the Pharisees, I kind of love that they add the Pharisees there. You know, here's some authority to our argument here. How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often and your disciples do not fast? Jesus answers, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them and they will fast then. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So let's take another look at that grapevine photo. So clearing away the rubbish got rid of rubbish, but it didn't actually produce anything new. It was pleasing to our eye, but it didn't birth anything fresh. It actually took the death of something that seemed beautiful, and we wanted it to be there. The death of that brought the new thing springing up. The new thing didn't grow where we thought it should. There was a cleared space for the vine to grow, you can see that there, but instead it seemingly decided a harder place and pushing up between two pavers and shifting one of them aside was where it wanted to be birthed and flourish. Isaiah asks us, do we see, do we perceive the new thing God is doing? Or are we perhaps missing it because we expect it to grow over here where we've cleared the space in the paving, where the dirt's supposedly ready, but it's not there? Are we staring in the wrong spot? Are we missing it because all we can see in that spot is the dead stump? We are so focused on the death, the disappointment, the plot twists of life that we have closed off every opportunity for God to do something new instead. Or does letting go of the old dream, the old wineskin feel too difficult? And the new just feels too far away, too hard, too much effort, it's out of sight. Are our feelings clouding the fact that the new is actually closer than we think? God promises to make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, but are we limiting where this new thing can grow? Are we full of pride? Yep, that's a comfortable word, isn't it? Are we full of pride that we would suggest that the new thing must look how we want it to look? Are we limiting God? We're praying for a new day, but we're telling him what the new wine must look like, taste like, smell like. And we're not allowing him instead to bring new wine in and through those things that have disappointed us. The messy stuff, the pain, the things we didn't expect, the death, disappointment, griefs and losses. They are all a part of our human experience, and those are really human responses to disappointment. It's okay if you're sitting here right now thinking, yes, I've been feeling like that. We all do. This is normal and natural. But God's call for this new day is to actually trust him, isn't it? Come on, we're told to trust the Lord, to look to him and to know that no matter what has passed so far in our lives up to this point, God is still good. His promises are still true. He is still trustworthy. And that is even amidst the mess. So, moving into a new day. Isaiah 43 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Sounds good, doesn't it? So we'll just out with the old, in with the new, sweep the disappointments under the rug then? No, totally unhealthy. Disappointments, grief and loss can become very big in our view, and they actually should. We actually need to face them, and we need to grieve them and acknowledge them appropriately with God, with others who can help us, and process those things. But if we dwell on them to the point where that's all we can see, they then become the filter through which we view all of our future. And then we don't want to move forward, even if it's in maybe just one little area, but we're holding that back. If we focus on them and what we have lost, we run the risk of becoming bitter, living lives of resentment towards God and of self-regret. The invitation here is not to dwell on the past. It's an invitation to actually allow God to move through those disappointing places, even if we don't understand why. God actually doesn't owe us an answer to why. He's really clear in Isaiah 55. He says, my ways, my thoughts, they're higher than yours. I'm not going to explain everything to you. You won't understand it anyway. So we need to step into a place of trust instead of holding our sovereign God to false expectations. And if we allow him to breathe in our disappointments, that's what will happen. Pastor Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church in the US recently preached on disappointment, and he said this: disappointment isn't sin. But the sin in disappointment is saying to God, because I didn't get what I wanted, I won't follow you, God, in what you are saying next. I'm going to start withholding pieces of myself from the assignment you've given me because I was disappointed. Allowing disappointment to be a door instead of a dead end, which is our choice and our response, is letting the thing you thought was supposed to happen die so something else can come alive. This is how we inhabit the new day. We don't dwell on the past, but we allow God to teach us through our disappointments, and we move forward with those lessons, even if the lesson is ongoing, even if it's a work in progress, even if we don't feel like it, and that step is way more a step of courage and trust and faith than any kind of certainty. If we have certainty, we don't need God anyway. So the new day is going to be characterized, and we've seen the beginnings of this even in the testimonies from youth camp and other things happening. It's going to be characterized by an outpouring of new wine. Where does new wine come from? In the natural, new wine doesn't actually come from new grapevines. In fact, viticulturalists don't allow grapevines to produce fruit until they have put enough energy into robust root systems and branches bold enough to carry the weight of the grapes. Let's think about that. This new growth on our grapevine here, we still got it? Yep. Isn't coming from new roots, it's coming from the old one. The old has not been thrown out here. It's the foundation of the new. New wine comes from fresh fruit grown on existing grapevines. Grapes grow on long-lived vines. The seeds of the new grapes already exist in the vine, even when it looks dead and dormant. Anyone travel down south in winter, those grapevines don't look lush, but in summer they do. John 15:1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. And in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It is in our remaining connected to Jesus, no matter what's happened or what's going on, that new fruit grows in us. That new wine is drawn out of us, that flows in and through us. And it's not just leaves, is it? Because leaves don't produce wine. They might look pretty. We're not about just looking pretty. We're about bearing fruit. So we need to stay connected to Jesus. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. God is doing a new thing. And wine is not just produced by fruit happening, it's by fruit being crushed and left to ferment. So where are you being tested in your love for others right now? Where is your patience being tested? Where perhaps has your kindness been crushed or misunderstood or taken advantage of? Where is your self-control being put under pressure? Right there is where new wine is being formed. Right there is the point of Holy Spirit's finger in your life right now. Right there is the opportunity for us to look at that sore spot and invite God in. Just as Pastor Ben spoke 2 weeks ago, stepping into freedom does not mean the absence of fear, but that we need a boldness from heaven, new wine, to help us step through fear into the next and into the new. Embracing the new day is about allowing God to be with us in everything. Every moment, every thought, every action, every choice. And yes, that might make you feel like you are a spiritual nutter, but I tell you what, that is what God wants. He wants us to be spiritual nutters, close and in relationship with Him and allowing Him in and through everything. And it's there when we ask Holy Spirit to help us that He will give us a new robust understanding of what it says in Romans 8:28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That is us. He loves us. We're called. He wants to do a new thing. To see, perceive, and step into the new is going to take some courage because God isn't mapping out every step for us. He isn't providing a guarantee, and He's actually just asking us to yoke ourselves to Him, to walk it out at His pace and with His empowering. And new wine is empowering. It bursts old wineskins. New wine is expansive. It fills the gaps and the dry places. So how do we position ourselves for this outpouring of new wine? Well, what rubbish do we need to get rid of out of our view? What are we looking at that we don't need to be? You know, sometimes we just need to take a second look at where we're staring. What seemingly good but perhaps hollow thing needs to go, needs to get chopped down, needs to be let go of out of 2024. It's not for this year, people. It's leafy, but it's hollow. What past experiences are we dwelling on, allowing to colour our view of life, the future, and of God's goodness? Where do we need to ask God to heal us in our pain? Where are we digging our heels in and refusing to move yet, even though Jesus is quite clearly standing before us, holding out His hand, saying, come on, come on. Where's that happening? What old wineskin needs to go so that God's Spirit can be poured out afresh and anew? And you know that's not just for our young people, so we're going to have a time this morning on the altar. Band, if you could come up, that would be awesome. The answer to those questions is going to be different for each of us. And that's good. It's as it should be. And as I was preparing for today, I actually had an amazing experience, a beautiful experience, but also a sad experience. It was both weird and wonderful. I was praying and I was like, Lord, I really need to know that I'm hearing from You on this for our beautiful people tomorrow. And I was sitting on the bathroom floor. When you've got curly hair, you sometimes sit in strange positions to blow dry your hair. Let's just explain that. My head upside down. And I felt to send someone a text message, and it was actually really personal and very sad, but it was a word of knowledge for this person. And I sent it and I said, hey, this is none of my business and I don't expect you to respond at all. I'm just doing this out of obedience. And immediately my phone rang. Ha. And that person was walking out of the hospital having just received the bad news that I'd sent a message about because God had told me to. And I was like, wow, God, you're so kind and your timing is so perfect. And that's exactly what God has for us today. He has a kindness in our soreness. And so praying into this, I saw some soreness in marriages. And I saw that God is actually stirring a new thing. But I saw spouses turned slightly away from one another, both trying to deal with their own stuff. And it's just like a slight turn and a turn towards. And God is going to ask some of you, even now it's stirring in your heart, if that's you as a married couple, you know you just need some new wine. You just need some new wine poured out in and through the stuff that's going on in your marriage. And it doesn't have to be big, profound, terrible stuff. Sometimes it's just nipping those little gritty, grindy things in the bud now before they become bigger. But I just sense that the Holy Spirit is so about families, so about marriages. And so if you've got just a bit of grit or if you've got a wide gaping hole, we don't need to know. But God has kindness this morning to pour out into your marriage today. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come and stand on the altar. And then I saw some people feeling really lonely and questioning, who are my real friends? And what God showed me was that there's some people close to you that you've shut off because they have for you felt a bit like a dead stump, and you've decided enough, I'm done with that relationship. But God actually wants you to take a second look. He wants you to ask for his perspective on that person and to allow something new to grow, a new fresh leaf of friendship and reconciliation. And so if that's you this morning, come and stand on this altar and we are going to allow God to pour fresh wine over us, his Spirit. And there's an outpouring this morning for forgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves, some of the things we've done in the past, some of the things we've said, some of the actions we've taken that we just knew weren't right even then, but we now see were really wrong. And we also need to release some others in forgiveness to start this year in a way that is not going to tether us backwards in our own unforgiveness, but is going to release us into all the new that God has for us. And so I want us just to consider, we're going to sing new wine together, church, these words: in the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. Where it hurts people, that's where the new wine is starting. And then it says, in the soil of our hearts, I now surrender. You are breaking new ground. Let's let our God break some new ground this morning. And it might not be where we think it's going to be. It might be pushing up between two pavers instead of in the prepared space. So I yield to you, Lord, into your careful, kind, precise hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. There's some whys that need to be let go of today. Why did it happen? Why? Let it go. Make me your vessel. Make me your offering. Make me whatever you want me to be.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.